Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim and Jamal Potts back on the air. And as always, thank you so much for listening to us on your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening, depending on where you are. Jamal, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Not too bad.
Good, good. We got a lot to talk about. Now, look, I'm going to say at the outset that for those of you that get the blast that we sent out, that it was going to be on certain topics, family, fire, some work tips regarding the, getting along with political views, et cetera, and EDD fraudulent claims. But I have to tell you, the business about the how to get along with your friends regarding political views, that might take up a lot of time today. So that's important because, Jamal, as you know, we get a lot of friends calling us, texting us about all of these different views and things of that nature. Some of these people get really upset emotionally. And so I got some emails. So I thought that this would probably be a good subject matter, you know, from that perspective. Because I know you've talked to me about that.
Absolutely. You know, the fun part about being an independent, you get hated by both sides.
Well,
everybody's trying to work hard to get to change my opinion, to sway my opinion one way or the other.
What's interesting is what we're going to be talking about today, and that is included in there. The other side of the coin here, we want to do some shout outs. So the first shout out that I'm going to send out is to the Dodgers. My Yankees lost, but the Dodgers is my team in the National League, and they're hanging in. So to the Dodgers, they've been in the World Series for the last, I think, 2 years or three, whatever it's been, and they always get knocked out. So hopefully this year they will be successful all the way.
Right.
You know, otherwise it's going to be like the Chicago Bears. They keep getting there, and they can never win. But I don't even know if the Bears even gotten there other than the last one that they won. So go from there.
Hey, man, since we do sports team shout-outs, man, let me give a shout-out to the New York Giants.
So the other shout out
one
that
game
I want to
out
give.
Of first place.
Ain't nobody want to hear about them sorry Giants, man.
0-4, one game out of first place.
Come on, man. Yeah, I get it, man. And they might win today. We'll have to see. But at any rate, look, there's another shout out that I want to do though. This weekend is the remembrance for law enforcement. So this is a very special weekend for me as well, having been a museum presented it, you know, a spectacular weekend with all of this. And as what they did, they actually read off all of the names of 135 law enforcement officers who died in the line of duty in 2019, plus 172 names of officers who died in previous years, but whose stories of sacrifice have been lost, you know, in time, so to speak. So that was a weekend filled with remembrance. And Jamal, I bring this up because of the fact that police officers are taking such a shot right now, with everything that's going on. You know, let's just not forget them. There are good officers out there. Unfortunately, there are some that have made mistakes. This guy Chauvin, I don't know if you heard, Jamal, but Chauvin, the one that put his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck. He is actually out on bail as of Wednesday, this past Wednesday. $1 million bail.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, and they're letting him basically leave the state because he's in fear of his life. So he has left the state from what I understand. But of course, he has to be available for the trial and all of that. So we'll see, you know, how that works out. But anyways, right. I just want to say, hey, for police officers out there, you know, be safe. I know there's some officers that are friends of mine that actually listen to the show. They've got a tough job to do, but we are behind you and keep doing what you're doing. Okay, that takes care of the shout-outs. I don't really have anybody on blast this week, Jamal. Do you have anybody on blast?
Absolutely, I do, man. This is another good one, you guys. Reported recently within his last couple of days, a Louisiana priest was arrested for allegedly filming himself having sex with two dominatrix passerby. Huh?
A priest?
Yeah, was having a threesome. And a passerby saw the lights on in the church, thought it was kind of unusual, so he went to go peep through the window, and that's what he found. The ladies were wearing corsets and high heels, literally at the altar. Police found the cell phone propped up on a tripod, you know, to film all of this. So,
what did the police have to do with it? That's not illegal.
Well, they called the, I don't know, man. They called the, I was wondering the same thing, man. But hey, it was in the news.
I don't necessarily agree that he should have been doing that. He's probably going to end up being excommunicated. They're probably going to get rid of him when the Pope finds out about that one, which I'm sure will. He's probably done, you know, as a priest. Hey, I don't know, Jamal. You hear so much about priests these days and this business about, you know, kids and stuff like that. I'd rather hear about that story than his.
It's true.
You know, I've also heard at some point that they were talking about letting priests get married. Now, what a lot of people don't know, and I'm Catholic, as you know, obviously, what people don't know is that at one time priests could marry, but the reason that the church ended up saying that they could not get married anymore was because, think about it, when you get married and you own property, what happens to that property? It goes to who? It goes to the spouse. Right. So what happened was, my understanding is that they pulled that away because any property at that point would then go to who? The church versus the other family.
Right.
Just a little trivia right there. Okay, let's get into some of these emails. Well, Jamal, thank you for putting them on blast. I'm glad you didn't mention his name. So we don't need to necessarily put his name out there.
No, I wasn't going to do that.
That's he's a priest. He's doing it at the altar. I mean, I don't know what that's all about. And then he's taping on top of it. Forget about it. When his superiors find out about this, which obviously by now they know. I mean, if you know, you're out here in California, I'm sure that it's over for him in terms of being a priest. Okay, let's get into these emails. Hey, guys, you have been handling some very tough topics, especially concerning the election. Here's my problem that I would like some guidance on, if you can. I have some very liberal friends whose friendship I value, but our political discussions are way too emotional. One of them is also a coworker. I'm at an impasse. How do we maintain relationships under these difficult times? Any advice would be helpful. Thanks, RJ, Bowie, Maryland. You know, this is the reason why I came, you know, one of the ones, you know, that I came up with to do the topic that we're going to do. So, RJ, I'm going to actually address it. So it goes right to the heart of your email. And by the way, I ask people all the time that, look, if you have any suggestions, and some people do send them in, you know, if you have any suggestions, you know, please send them in. And don't forget that if you have any, you know, comments or questions that you'd like to, you know, present today, don't forget we got the dial-in number here. I'm still holding up this code until we're back into the studio. But there's the information as I read this other email. Next one. Jim, I know your background as a former police officer and your stance on the Second Amendment. I recently had a friend who lost their son because of an unsecured weapon. Please send a message that parents must be responsible with guns in the home. Thanks. Mark, Mobile, Alabama. Mark, that was another reason why I'm actually doing something on Family Fire. It's called Family Fire. And for those of you that saw the blast that went out on Family Fire, that has to do with unsecured guns in the home, and these kids get to them, and then these kids, you know, accidentally kill themselves or kill a friend, et cetera. So it's just going to be some safety reminder tips for people, et cetera, some information that's going to be out there on that as well. All right. So we're getting away from the politics a little bit because, quite frankly, we need a little break from that as well. Okay. This third email. Jim, one question. Who do you think won the vice president debate? Jessica from West Covina, California. Well, Jessica, I will say this. I think, first of all, that the debate was more professional than the other debate, the presidential debate. So I will say that. And, you know, what I didn't like about it was the smirks and, you know, and Miss Harris, or Mrs. Harris, Kamala Harris, with some of the comments that she already had T-shirts that says I'm speaking or something. I don't know. She gets into this commercialization type of thing because when she did the debate, the day after the debate, she had, Jamal, remember that? The day after the debate, she had T-shirts that said, I was that child. I was that girl or something like that. I don't know.
Right.
If you know about that. Remember that? So I don't know why she gets into that, you know, from that perspective, but I just think that's kind of, you know, I think it's kind of corny. I don't think she should be doing that, quite frankly. You know, I'm speaking, you know, as if Pence was really over the top. He wasn't. So that was all planned. So I really kind of didn't like that. But I will tell you that I read, you know, and looked at CNN, the New York Times, and a few others, where overall, from an overall perspective, they were saying that there was no winner and no loser. Now, you know, depending on who you talk to, I'm sure, Jamal, that your friends, you know, that text you all the time would say, you know, Kamala Harris ran away with it. But the experts don't say that. It was like even Steven. I mean, it was no big deal. You know,
well,
go ahead, Jamal.
I watched it myself. And honestly, the smirking on Kamala Harris, honestly, it just drove me crazy because I don't really like her. But honestly, watching the debate, I thought Kamala did beat him, to be honest with you. I thought she performed a lot better than Mike Pence did. And, you know, was there something? I thought some of the things that she did in terms of, excuse me, I'm speaking. Yeah, I think she had every right to do that because there was times when Pence cut in and she wanted to be strong. And I think sometimes as a woman, you have to show that you can be strong too, dealing in an environment that's predominantly men, you know. So I think she didn't do nothing outrageous. I thought that was fair for her to stand up for herself.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I didn't have a problem with that part of it. The smirking, yeah, I thought it kind of drove me crazy a little bit, you know. But
everybody's going to watch it, Jamal, and draw their own conclusions. You know what the bottom line is, Jamal? Who changed their mind about who they're voting for as a result of this debate?
Well, everybody got their minds made up except the independents.
You know, they say even 90% of them have their minds made up. But you know how that is. Those are polls and all of that kind of stuff. Who knows? You know, these polls always tickle me because, you know, if you listen to Fox, the polls lean one way. You listen to CNN, the polls lean the other way. So, you know, it's so difficult. The bottom line is what's going to happen on November 3rd?
Right.
Because as I recall, in a 2016 presidential election, Hillary Clinton, in terms of the polls, was ahead. You know, same thing with what's going on right now. So I still believe that there's this silent majority out there that aren't speaking up. You know, they're not going to say anything. You know, we had a caller last week that talked about the fact that about putting a Trump sign on his lawn to see what would be the reaction because everybody else, you know, lives out there. But generally speaking, you drive around, you don't see that many Trump signs per se. You know, nobody wants their house egged or whatever, or somebody out there protesting, I guess, whatever the case may be. So we just have to wait and see what happens. I quite frankly, Jamal, I'm getting sick of all of it. And that's the truth. I'm almost to the point where November 3rd, just get here. Let's see what happens. Hopefully, we're not going to have a mess afterwards, but everybody's saying, oh, there's going to be these riots. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. I don't know. We just have to wait and see. Oh, I knew who I wanted to send a shout out to, Jamal, that I forgot. The FBI. In reference to the Michigan governor. About the governor getting you know, them capturing these guys that were going to kidnap her. And you know, Jamal, that was part of the work that I did with the LA County Sheriff's Department. Is what we call open source and, you know, intelligence, which is getting on the internet. You're also looking for things. And that's what they did. That's how they got these people. These people that get on the internet and start broadcasting stuff around, you know, hey, you do that, we're going to catch you. There's just no two ways about it. So that's what they did. They infiltrated the group, and they got these guys. So I thought that was great, quite frankly. And then I find out that these guys don't even like Trump. They just don't like her because of the fact that she's been trying to keep everybody, you know, shut down, basically. So I don't know, whatever. I mean, there's crazy people out there. There's people with an agenda. And this is what I was telling you. We can't control that. Nobody can control somebody else. These people that do these kind of things, hey, you know, so it is what it is.
What is your thoughts on it? And I'm sure somebody's going to bring it up. You know, of course, they felt like once again, Trump has fanned the flames, and this is what led to that. And I'm just curious what your thoughts on that is.
He fanned the flames how? You mean to tell me that these people thought that somehow or another that they were guided, I mean, people thought that these people were guided by Trump to go do this?
Like, yeah, there's people out there that felt like, you know, that he's fanned the flames on these types of situations.
Honestly, Jamal, I don't listen to that anymore. Because I'll just tell you why. Everything is Trump's fault. Period. It doesn't matter. If you go outside your house and slip and fall, somehow or another, that's going to reflect back to Trump. That's how I look at it. Every single thing is Trump's fault. Now, look, Jamal, before you even get there, I get it. There's times when Trump has, look, even Republicans say sometimes we wish Trump would shut the hell up and stop doing so much tweeting. Everybody knows that. Okay? Right. He's not going to do it. You know, it is what it is. So that those are the kind of things that opens the door for people to make whatever allegations that they want. Okay. Right. The bottom line is those people that are going to vote for him, Jamal, are still going to vote for him.
Right.
Those people are not going to vote for him. Are still not going to vote for him. So all of this back and forth about, well, you know, Trump fanned the flame, so these people went there. I just told you before you even asked me that. These people have acknowledged they don't even like Trump. So so they're not listening to anything that he's saying anyway. This was how they felt that the governor was being too restrictive. Okay, that's what that was all about. It had nothing to do with Trump. I mean, the governor that came out that who the plot was against said Trump and, you know, President Trump, you know, saying this and saying that. It had nothing to do with that. The guys came out and said, no, this has to do with you, not him. It had nothing to do with him. They don't even like him. But it doesn't matter. I mean, there's the agenda that's out there regarding all of this. And no matter what you do or say, okay, everything he does is wrong. And again, I agree, Jamal. The man sometimes is his own worst enemy with this stuff. You know, I just saw something before we got on the air. They said that Trump has announced or something that he's immune from COVID-19. I didn't even bother reading it, Jamal. I'm like, what do you mean immune? You know what I mean? Unless he's saying that once you have it, okay, then you don't really get it again. It's very rare that somebody else gets it. You know, he's back on the campaign trail later this week. End of that story. So there'll be something, again, that they'll bring up that he's doing that's not right or something. I don't know. But you know, getting into the main topic of what we're talking about today, you know, with this business about these differing political views, there's two perspectives here. There's one when you're at work and when you're away from work. So Jamal, even some of the feedback that you've been getting from some of your friends and family members, I should say, about you should change your mind and this and that, this and that, this stuff, you know, who's trying to change your mind? Is it conservatives trying to change your mind? Or is it the liberals trying to change your mind?
Oh, it's both.
Okay, it's I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely both. You know what I mean? So, and everybody has what they feel are their valid reasons. You know what I mean? It's just, at the end of the day, I feel like I don't like neither one of these two candidates so much like I did in 2016. I don't want to vote for either one of them. And here's what I will say. Here's what I will say is the difference. Most people that's on the left that I talk to, it seems like it's not even based on policy what they're saying. They're just saying anybody but Trump. Anybody but Trump. But not saying necessarily, you know, particular based on any policies or nothing. Just anybody but Trump would be better. You know? I mean, but that's how a lot of people are feeling these days, too. You know what I mean? So,
well, Jamal, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And I get the anger and frustration. I do. I get it on. I understand it on both sides.
Look, personally, Jamal, I think that people still have to look at what is the agenda. When they say anything but Trump, and they're going to vote for Joe Biden, in my opinion, okay, I just think that there's going to be some things later on what they're going to regret. And I'll tell you what they're going to say, Jamal. Watch. Well, it doesn't matter, you know, because Trump in my mind was worse. Okay, we don't know what Joe Biden's going to do. We only know what he hasn't done in 47 years. And there's a difference, in my opinion. He's been at it 47 years. Trump's been at it 3 years and did everything he said he was going to do. The only exception to that, of course, is that he was working on this issue about the Affordable Care Act or whatever, you know, to replace Obamacare. And quite frankly, the Republicans never came up with a really strong, viable alternative. That's the only reason why that one probably didn't go through. But the other side of the coin is, look at the other 20 things on his list that he said he was going to do that he's done. So he's got a track record. Biden hasn't really shown a track record like that. But again, I'm sure the liberals are out there bouncing off the wall saying the man is great. I get all of that. You know, he's done this and he's done that. Okay. I get that. Okay. So we just have to wait and see. But again, that's part of this business about people getting so emotional with this. You know, it's difficult. Go ahead.
I'm going to tell you, I don't like Trump. I'm not going to vote for Trump for all the reasons everybody understands why. Here's my problem with Biden, because I think he has a track record also, and I've said this, and some people going to feel like I'm a broken record, but even like, you know, his comment back in from 1977 when he was talking about, he didn't want his kids growing up in a racial jungle of a school, you know what I mean? Because he didn't want his kids going to integrated schools or something like that, you know? So, I mean, and then up until the time he says, you know, if you don't vote for me, then you ain't black. Excuse me, bro. I'm not going to let you tell me I'm not black because I don't want to vote for you. Who are you to tell me that? I got a problem with things like that. I really do. And so, I don't know, man. I don't like him no more than I like Trump. And that's the bottom line. People keep telling me that, well, Biden's better than personally.
Well, just get ready, because in January, he's already talking about the taxes, Jamal. So I don't want to hear it when you get your check and it's going to be less, because you get your check for me. And I'm just telling you, you're going to notice that difference. Anyway, you know, let's not talk about Biden and Trump anymore. Right. Let's talk about these, you know, stay on course to talk about this business about different political views. You know, because most of the time when people make friends with people, we really pay attention to things we have in common. We like their sense of humor. Maybe we like their music, whatever the case may be. It's almost like dating. You know, you're dating somebody. What do you have in common? And you do the same thing when you have your friends. What do we have in common? All right. Now, is what's separating that out right now, of course, is whether or not, and also friends will help you in a pinch. Okay. So you look at these things about this friendship that you form with these people. But now the problem is, we saw a very different election when Trump and Hillary than we had ever seen before. And now, once again, is more drama. Okay. And you look at that and say, man, what could possibly happen next? And what happened? The man got COVID-19. We got 3 weeks left. I don't know what the heck can happen in 3 weeks, quite frankly, the way this whole election year has turned over. The problem is that these individual political views, Jamal, have spilled over into all about personal lives as well as the work environment. Both places.
Right.
You know, and how do you deal with this? You know, because again, the message has to be that the friendships need to survive this. And for some people, Jamal, the friendships have not survived it. It's done. It's over.
Right.
Why? Over politics? I still don't understand that. When you already know about one of my friends, you know, that's okay. You know, that's out of my life. And I've done a lot for her. And because she doesn't understand, well, anyway, it doesn't matter. So look, there's three methods, okay, that we're going to address with this. All right. The first one is tolerating opposing political views. Now, is what this is called is hungry listening. Hungry listening, guys. All right. A good friend has a sincere interest in finding out as much as he or she can about the friend's point of view. Let your questions reflect this deep interest and don't get caught up in discussions of political likes and dislikes. And I think that's important. If they're truly your friend, then why not just listen to what they have to say? It's not a question of the friendship being over or differing points of views. Hungry listening simply means that you, because they're such a good friend of yours, that you're going to listen to their side. You follow me, Jamal, on that?
No, I agree. I had a friend of mine, she and I got into a heated, debate over politics or whatever to a point. It got to a point where she just said, you know what? I'm going to get off this phone. I said, all right, cool. But then the next day, I actually texted her in the morning and said, hey, we've been friends for over 20 years. Let's not let politics get involved, you know, mess up our friendship. And she said, you know what? I was going to text you the same thing and we good. You know what I'm saying? Because we always appreciate each other's friendship and we, you know, did everything we can to keep it. So But we don't really talk about politics too much more. And that's probably the best thing to do.
Well, the hungry listening aspect of this is you listening to what the person has to say with a genuine interest. They've got a point of view. Okay, no problem. All right. And you can ask that person open-ended questions so they're answering the question. So you can do that. Okay. And just to ask an open-ended question to clarify, you know, where the person is coming from. What you're trying to do with that, Jamal, is understand the person, not necessarily all of the issues being presented. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
That's got to be the approach for one thing. All right. Now, another one is be wary of blocked listening. Now, blocked listening. All right. So you're blocking it out now. Political beliefs are sensitive personal issues, and it can be easy to get emotional about them. Now, when people have political discussions, they're likely to engage in blocked listening, they say, which means selectively listening to your friend's words for an opportunity, Jamal, to disagree with them. That happens a lot right now. They're listening to disagree. Okay. Because right. They want to be able to disagree. Okay. No. You know, Trump's a wonderful guy. No, he's not. You know, Biden seems like he has Alzheimer's. No, he doesn't. You know what I'm saying? That's what people are doing.
Right.
And that's what they call it. That's blocked listening. You know, so when you have these conversations, Jamal, I'll ask you this. When these friends of yours are talking about politics and they're talking about Biden or whatever, do you ever, you know, go, yeah, okay, but do you use the word but?
Yeah, some people do.
Okay, now let me tell you what they say about the experts say about that. If you find yourself wanting to include the word but in your conversation, chances are you're engaged in blocked listening. Remember that telling people where they're wrong is unlikely to change their minds or improve the relationship. So it's not about telling them that they're wrong. So when you have these friends that are texting you or screaming at you on the phone or whatever the case may be, it's not a question about that. It shouldn't be that way at all. All right. It has to be that they're at least willing to listen to your side of it. Now, I can tell you what I have found. I have found where they're not willing to listen.
You know,
they shut you off.
This is starting to sound a lot like marriage counseling because it's the same thing that we're talking about right now.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. About block listening and the butts added in the conversation.
Psychologist. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the butts added in the conversation and things like that, you know, listening and disagree, you know. And that's how some people are.
But what I understand about those sessions, Jamal, I've never been one of myself, but I've had guys that have told me about it, is that when they're at these sessions, here's where the butts are. The wife is doing the talking and the husband is trying to say, but. But that's what I've heard from friends, you know, from that perspective. I've never been through marriage counseling, but friends that I know all uniformly say, hey, man, we're trying to get a word in edgewise. We're going, but,
hey,
you know, and nobody's listening.
I won't say his name, but it's somebody you know. I had a friend of mine do that on national TV, and he was on national TV going, but baby, I have changed.
I hope he wasn't on Jerry Springer.
Man.
Let's keep moving to the next one. So we know about the but. Okay. And ladies, don't get upset with that. Come on, you know it's true. At any rate, the next thing says, look, don't try to change your friend's views.
Right.
Look, political beliefs are based on interpretation of facts. Okay. Now think about that, Jamal. Everything is based on interpretation of facts, even in the legal circle. Okay. Even in the criminal justice system, facts. You follow what I'm saying? And people, the way people interpret it. Look at all of the different ways people interpret the Bible, Jamal.
Right. You know,
same thing. People in one path, friends' views, because political beliefs are based on interpretation of facts, you're not going to be able to convince another person, you know, of your point of view by quoting well-respected experts who may agree with you. This only invites your friend to bring an expert opinion in to show your expert is wrong.
Right.
Now, Jamal, we go through that. You know, we go through that, you know, in the legal circle. You know that. Everybody's right. Got an expert. I'm considered an expert. I've been an expert witness of what, 10 cases, whatever it's been. And what do? They turn around and say, okay, we got Jim Potts as our expert. And now the other side hires an expert. And what do? We all write briefs, expert briefs based upon all the facts.
Right.
The expert gets, well, Jim doesn't know what he's talking about. I when I write my brief, Joe doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, that's just what it is. So you're not going to change people's minds with this.
Right.
Okay, you're in the middle, so, but you know what I mean? That, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you were voting for Trump, but you changed your mind, I think, after the debate, you said, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. If you want me to explain why, I can.
I don't want to get back into that, okay?
I know. I got you.
The point that I'm saying is that, you know, I'm not going to be able to change your point of view. From your perspective, you are not voting for either one of them. You're going to basically throw your ballot away. You know, and that's what they say. Okay. So don't jump on me about that. But that's just the general terminology because you're not going to vote for either candidate. Now, some people are elected not to vote at all. Okay. They're not going to vote at all. I don't think that that's what we should do. I don't think anybody, Jamal, should put their head in the sand. Okay. And not vote at all. I think you got to take a stand. You got to find something about one of these two people that you like. Okay. There's got to be something. Okay. That they may like. And that's why you end up voting for him. So here's his checklist approach, in my opinion, where you have, okay, what do I like about Trump? What do I like about Biden? Do a checklist. And at the end, at the bottom, you know, you got 15 things. Well, I won't say 15. You got 5 things you like about Trump. You got 5 things you like about Biden or 6 things you like about Biden. There's your choice. But I don't think people should just, you know, not vote. All right. Because a lot of countries don't even have a system like we have. Although that system is being challenged.
This has been a pretty big movement, man, about minorities holding their votes. It should. Ice Cube came out and said it recently. I know P. Diddy has come out and said it in the recent past, about holding your vote. Because if you're not getting nothing out of your vote, I just think that, honestly, like, it's particularly the black vote is just being, is not appreciated. It's taken for granted. That's what I should say. Because you know they have no bargaining chip no longer. The majority of black people are going to automatically vote Democrat no matter what. Therefore, why give them anything? And that's what it seemed like it's come down to me in terms of, and for that side. And I'm not saying that the Republicans are any better, to be honest with you. I'm not saying that they're any better. But I think if people want it, I think there's a lot of power in holding your vote.
You know, the thing about holding the vote, Jamal, is what happens after a person gets elected and now you're upset with some policy that they put in place.
You should be upset. You know, Jim from Jersey, I think it was last week or the week before, said, you know, well, if you don't vote for one of them, then you shouldn't be able to say anything. No, that's ridiculous. I'm a taxpaying citizen. So therefore, I can always have an opinion about anything they do. And just because if I decide not to vote for you, it's a lot of other issues.
Well, the other thing about voting, let's not forget, is the down ticket. It's not just for president.
Right.
Right? The other thing is that there's also different propositions that are being, you know, put up there. There's people running for the Senate, people running for Congress, whatever it is. Right. There's other people running besides those two.
Right.
So even if you don't vote, because you don't want to vote for either presidential candidate, you still have to take a look at, in my opinion, the people on the down ticket. You know,
right? Absolutely.
I think that that's the one. Well, you know, L.A. County, Jackie Lacey, who is the district attorney for Los Angeles County, you know, she's in a fight right now for her seat, as an example. So if people don't vote, okay, then you know that's a down ticket type of thing. Somebody needs to. You know, I think they still need to make some selections on some of the other ones, Jamal. That's how I look at that. So when they don't vote at all, they're giving up other things. Maybe taxes on their homes, you know, things of that nature. Things that maybe
I still say go to the polls. I'm just saying, like you just mentioned, though, there's more than just two presidential candidates on the election ballot.
That's right. That's
on
right.
On the voting ballot.
Let's keep moving. Avoid imposing, okay, your political beliefs on your friends. It's not fun to talk to someone whose beliefs are fixed. political conversations between friends aren't really good about who is right and who is wrong. Instead, there's an opportunity to keep a good, thoughtful mood going. All right. So if you get focused on winning the conversation, no one's going to have a good time. It's not a question about winning. It's a question about listening and respecting the other person's opinion, not getting upset about it. Well, if that's your opinion, that's great. You know, that's okay. You know, we can agree to disagree. And that's exactly something you and I have done that. We can agree to disagree. We're not going to agree, even though you're wrong most of the time. So, you know, so from that perspective, oh, you missed that, Jamal. I said, even though you're wrong most of the time.
I expect nothing less for you to say that. That's not a surprise for you to say.
Jamal,
that.
I was just kidding, man.
No, I know.
You know, I was just kidding. But, you know, it's that father-son relationship anyway, man. You know, dad's always right. Son always right. The son's always right. So what the heck?
Oh, my son just accused me of that the other day. I've never lost a conversation to him.
Yeah, it is. You know? There it is. You know, I'm assuming you're talking about your older son.
Of course.
Right, right. Be mindful of your social media feed. And that's true. You wouldn't want to find your own social media feed full of opinions you disagree with. So be careful not to do this to others. It's okay to include occasional political opinions, but you don't need to post your opinion day by day. I have friends put this stuff out there every single day. One of my closest friends that I've known since college. Now, here's what's funny. Facebook. She put, and you know her, Ma, but she was putting things on Facebook, you know, about Trump. Jamal, I kid you not, about a year ago, I put on something contrary with a contrary argument, okay? Jamal, that's the last time I've been getting any feeds from her through Facebook. And I called her one time and said, what's going on? Now, according to her, she hasn't, befriended or defriended, whatever that is, okay? Not befriended, that she hasn't taken me off of there. She goes, I don't know why that happened. I think that some of that stuff, Jamal, is being controlled by some of those social media outlets, okay? But that's besides the point.
Maybe, yeah.
But she sent me, she showed it to me because she sent me something on Facebook, you know, just to send it to me, to show me. And believe it or not, that went through. But on that other feed, Jamal, I've never gotten anything politically after that. Right. But she posts different things about Trump, for example.
Maybe that's like you said earlier, neither one of you two are going to change your mind.
Yeah, but she and I have been friends since college days. So at least with us, you know, we can have these discussions and we're not going to hang up the phone on each other. You know, I'm not talking anymore. It's not like that. Okay. Right. Although there are people out there that, in fact, are like that. You know, so in particular, avoid putting opinions out there, like I said. And Jamal, you put things out there because you're on Facebook now, I think you told me. And, you know, so from that perspective, you're putting stuff out there. And I know you've talked to me about family and friends that are blasting you, you know, about things that you put on there. Now, I'm not telling you don't do that. You're stating an opinion. You're entitled to your opinion.
Right. Here's the thing, man. Like, you know, I give my opinion. And none of it's really kind of positive. Like, you know, if I know somebody's a Trump supporter and they put something out, I'll give a, you know, different opinion. Like, well, supporters are like, well, you're leaving out these facts also. You know what I mean? And people get upset at me for doing that. You know, but it is what it is.
If Jamal, you put it out they don't there, want you putting it out there. They don't want you putting it out there because of the fact that other people are reading that and they don't want you convincing somebody else. You know what I'm saying? That's probably what it is.
Somebody actually messaged me that. It said, well, that's true, but that's dangerous of you to, you know, to say something like that. And I'm like, it's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, but that might sway people from not voting this way or the other. I get that on both sides.
The other one that they have here that I like is agree to disagree. I think we've already kind of mentioned that. We have a right to disagree, you know, knowing when to walk away from a conversation, save a friendship before you say something you can't take back. Right. Okay. So let's just agree to disagree. I've got a good friend of mine that I've done that with sometimes. I say, look, let's just agree to disagree and then kind of back away from the conversation. Okay. The second method is focusing on common interests. So if you treat your friend with respect, put yourself in your friend's place. Why are they feeling the way that they are? And imagine what they're thinking about. Instead of just getting mad or upset with them, just take a moment. If you treat them with respect, Jamal, the fact that, okay, you know what? They've got that opinion. I respect that opinion and not get into a battle over the opinion. It's their opinion. Doesn't matter. initiate a conversation. Avoiding political conversation is jeopardizing your friendship. Try to schedule a time to have a wonderful, respectful conversation, but be prepared to listen with an open mind and with curiosity. All right? So that's fine. That speaks for itself. Accentuate the positive. If your friend respects a politician that you dislike, find the aspects of this politician that you respect. Now, Jamal, we kind of talked about that. There's right. got to be something. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the part I'm liberal. Are you telling me in 3.5 years, Trump has never done anything right? 3.5 years, almost 4 years. You're saying he, not you, but, you know, he hasn't. Right. There's got to be something that he's done right.
Right.
And some of these people just shut it down and say, no, he hasn't done anything right. Well, see, that I have a problem with. I mean, well, I don't like Joe Biden necessarily, Jamal, but 47 years, I know he's done something right. I haven't been able to find it. No, I'm just kidding. You know, but I'm sure he's done something right. Jamal, go ahead.
Right. No. Yeah, I'm kind of laughing about that, man. You know, and that does happen all the time in politics. Giving any credit to the other party is a sign of weakness. So that's not going to happen. It's just become too extreme. If you credit anybody on the other side for anything positive, it's almost like, yeah, but this and that, you're going to get hit with venom.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. But you know what, Jamal? Watch what happens if Biden gets elected. Wait until next February and March or April or something's going on. Guarantee you, based upon even what you just said, it's Trump's fault. Every president coming in always goes back to the last administration. Yeah, I'm cleaning up this mess. So yeah, this didn't work out right because it was just, I didn't realize the extent of the mess until I got in here. So it's all their fault.
Right.
That's exactly what's going to happen. Guarantee.
That's what's going on now.
Yeah, well, it's already going on.
Everything's right. Obama's fault still. You
know, well, what's Obama's fault? How did Obama get in this picture?
Because you said every president blames the last president. And I'm saying Trump still does that. He still blames Obama for everything.
Okay. I'll just let that go because what does it say here? Agree to disagree. Okay.
You denying that? Are you denying that?
No, I've already said every president blames the one before him, Jamal. I'm just kidding with you, man. I wanted to pull for my notes again. Agree. You know, hey, yeah, we could agree to disagree. Of course they do that. You know, because that's their selling points, man.
Right.
You know, and that's what I don't like about this process that we have Democrats and Republicans, you know, and we have, you know, it's always going to be, as long as we have this two-party system, I'm telling you, we're always going to have these problems. We need a third strong candidate, you know, a third strong political party. Okay. Right. And until we get that where they can actually hold some weight, we're going to have this battle going back on, Jamal, for decades upon decades. It's already been there.
I agree, and that's why I can't stand the fact that people put these little weird fears in people's mind that you have to vote Democrat or Republican. So it's time. It's throwing away your vote. I mean, I voted for it last time. You threw away your vote. No, man, it got to start somewhere. If you want change, you got to do something drastic. Now, me doing it by myself wasn't necessarily drastic, but it was my stand. You know what I mean? Because I didn't like Hillary or Trump. And unfortunately, in 2020, I'm faced with that again. I'm just looking forward to 2024, man.
What's in 2024?
The new election.
Oh, 4 years from now. And do you think it's going to be anything different?
I'm hoping.
Good luck. Method 3, patching your friendship, Jamal. Patching up your friendship after the disagreement. Allow some time to cool down. If you got heated feelings left over from a disagreement with your friend, wait until you're calmer before you extend an olive branch, which is what you were telling me that you did with your friend. Because you texted her or him, whatever it was, the next day, okay? And the person was getting ready to text you as well, okay? Like a relationship. That's what it is. But you just wait for cooler heads prevail, you know? And consider whether or not you want to apologize or not. It's all good. Some people don't like apologies. But the biggest thing is, don't hold on to resentments, guys. Just because you disagree, don't hold on to the resentments. These are still friends. Remember something. These people at one point are going to be out of office. So you're going to give up a lifetime of friendships or whatever the case may be. Okay? When this person is going to be out of office, and now for how many years? Let's say if it's a presidential situation, it's what? At best, it's 8 years.
Right.
Okay? At a minimum, they only get elected one time, then it's only 4 years. Right. But you've known this person for 20 years and you're going to give up all of that behind somebody, first of all, that you don't even know. Okay. And second, hey, when it's all said and done, they're going to be out of office and now you lost a good friend.
And just to add to that, also, I think you should understand the person you're talking to. If you're friends, you know this one or two is highly emotional, highly upset. And if you know that they're like that, avoid those type of conversations. You know what I mean?
I agree with you on that note, Jamal. You know, and sometimes they'll put, but remember, sometimes they'll drag you into it.
True.
What do you think about such and such?
Yeah.
So you got to be careful about that. Yeah, you know what? I don't want to talk about changing. Look, let's talk about the work environment real quick, Jamal, because we got about 3 minutes left. Look, at work, it's a little bit different. Okay, so just keep in mind, you're going to have employees that are going to be Republican, Democrats, and independents. As a manager and supervisor, just understand something. You're not going to be able to stop that conversation. It's either going to be around the water cooler. It's going to be when they're sitting in their cubicles, yelling over the top to each other. It's going to be in the lunchroom or even outside, okay? So it's going to be there, okay? Now, what doesn't help us is the fact that our 24-hour day, 7 days a week, news cycles, social media, and the overall unavoidability of this election, all these issues, they're going to be the tips. Remind employees of your expectations through general and non-political civility, a respectful workplace, okay? Think about that. Ordinary workplace civility, all right? That should be a policy. Two, establish a clear differences between political opinions, okay, to be tolerated, and unlawful harassment, which is more generalized like bullying. Because sometimes with some of these people, Jamal, they're bullying people.
Right.
That's against company policy. Okay. If not, it should be. Do not have an organizational position towards one candidate or another. So let's say as a CEO like I am, okay, and yeah, you know what my political feelings are. But even though I'm in that position, okay, it's not for me to try to get other people to think my way or to vote my way just because I'm the CEO. That's not right either.
Right.
All right. So let's keep that in mind. Consider keeping workplace television, such as in the lunchroom, turned to something other than a news channel. I think that is excellent. Don't leave it on the news, because what's going to happen? First of all, what station do you put it on? You put it on CNN, you got the Fox people upset. You put it on Fox, you got the CNN people upset. Hey, put it on something else, game shows, something else, okay? Limit political displays in the workplace, buttons, shirts, banners. I remember this one time we had a client, they had an employee that was upset because the vice president of the company had a seal. Okay, it looked like a presidential seal. But in the center of the seal was a baby crying. And on the outside, it said the Democratic National Party's official seal or something like that. In other words, that they're crybabies. This lady got upset about that. Well, to me, that's going too far. That should not be posted. Keep an eye on your state laws, because there's laws involved with some of this as well. And also keep an eye out on the National Labor Relations Act as well. So as you can see from this, Jamal, you know, this had to take over the whole show because this was very uncomfortable.
Don't add employees about politics, period, in my opinion.
And with that, we're going to end this conversation because that part is true. Okay, Jamal, let's sign off. Do you have anything else you want to add real quick?
No, sir.
Out of time. Okay.
Lakers is up 3-2.
Okay, well, they're going to play tonight. We'll see what happens. All right. We appreciate it. You guys have been listening to Jim and Jamal Potts on LA Talk Radio. We really do appreciate your time once again. And do us a favor. If you like what you heard, please spread the word. And until next week, be safe, you guys. And until then, bye.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.